and that term, the generational change, is something that is very important in my life. Those of you know that one of the things that we do, we use the Collective Power of One International is our outreach for missions. And CPOI, actually, we activate medical professionals and take them to different areas of the world, and we do something not on long term. This is just a short term thing, usually 2 or 3 days. We have what we call a mega medical camp. And every time we do this, God shows us favor. And so far, the world, not even speaking of what God is doing, but the world has saw fit to reward us with 4 Guinness World Records. And when I have a chance to get up and speak at these ministries, one of the things that I'm so conscious of is that we are making generational changes. See, you can, you know, there's the thing, you know, do you give a man a fish and let him, you know, eat for a day, or do you teach him how to fish and let him eat for the rest of his life? And that's what we are about. We are taking the Word of God and applying it to the lives of those that we can touch, so that our lives can then reflect the lessons that we've learned, and our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all the people that we come in contact with, will recognize that what is done here has been something from God. And the Old Testament reading that we had today out of Proverbs is talking about wisdom and the difference between wisdom and knowledge. The Bible talks about both, about wisdom and knowledge. And as a matter of fact, one of the primary characteristics of the very last days, when the Bible talks about end time prophecy, one of the biggest characteristics is an increase, an explosion of knowledge. All right, not wisdom, but knowledge. And the number one commodity right now is information, knowledge. And that's why anytime you order anything online, anytime that you sending text messages or whatever, there is something out there that is saying, oh, this person likes this particular type of toilet tissue, or like this particular type of antiperspirant, or whatever it is, and then they're selling that to other people. And isn't it interesting that Terry and I, we use Alexa at our house, mainly because I'm lazy, and I can't get up and walk 5 feet to turn on a light switch, so I tell Alexa to turn the light on. But it's interesting that we'll go ahead and talk about something, and then within just minutes, when we're on the internet, they're trying to sell us something that we were just talking about 10 minutes ago. Is that coincidence, or is that planned? All right, and so I mean, it goes to the very depths. The FBI has a program called Carnivore, and you've probably not ever heard of it. If you did, you'd get very, very angry, because they monitor every telephone conversation, whether it's hardline or over the cell phone, in the United States. And if there are key words like bomb or something like that, then they will record that conversation. And that is an archive that's there for generations to come. Why? Because everybody is sucking in this knowledge, this information. But in God's Word, he doesn't negate knowledge, but there's something that is more important, and that is wisdom. Wisdom tells you how to use knowledge. And when I'm talking to my Air Force auxiliary cadets, we have each of the armed branches of the armed forces have core values. And it's going to be things like integrity and honor and excellence. And, you know, they're all just a little bit different. And in ours, it's excellence, respect, volunteer service, and here I am, I'm teaching them, and I can't remember what the fourth one is. So, anyhow, and this is why this is important, is because all of the knowledge in the world does you no good when you come into temptation. The only thing that helps you when you come into a time of temptation are your core values, the representation of the wisdom of God in your life. And so I tell my young people, you know, you don't want to find yourself, I'll tell the young ladies, you don't want to find yourself in the back seat of a car with a young man that does not have core values. Because when the heat of passion is going, you have no core values to fall back on, and so you're just going to do whatever is emotionally expedient. Amen? Alright, and it's the same way when we're in business. It's the same way when we're interacting with each other. When we're put under pressure, when people are looking at us, it's not the amount of knowledge that is going to spill forth. When the pressure is on, it is the wisdom. It's what we hold dear, what is valuable to us. And if you haven't determined that certain biblical things are central to your existence, then don't be surprised when the heat is on that you're not coming back to Jesus and starting to claim the word and the promises of Jesus, because now that is just a convenience. It's not something that is a core value to you. And so we had in another church where Terry and I were ministering, there were actually three couples who were credentialed ministers in that denomination. And it was very interesting that as being on staff in the church, everybody on staff knew who was giving what in their donations. And this one couple, it was just, I don't know if you call it a joke because it wasn't funny. They very rarely were faithful with their tithes and offerings. But if he would get up in the pulpit and he would say, I want you to pray for my wife and I. One of my daughters is going through a real difficult problem. Our family is really under pressure right now and we need God in our lives. We knew that when the offering was taken up, they were going to be working over that money and that offering because they wanted to be faithful to God so that God would be faithful to him. Well, that's not being faithful to God. That's trying to buy God's favor. Amen? Right? And you know, the Word of God tells, don't come calling to me saying, oh, yes, I've done this and I've had good intentions, and it's been our desire to do these good things. And Jesus says, now, don't tell me about your woulda, shoulda, couldas. Let me see what you have done. All right? And so when we are going through our lives, and right now, I would dare say that everybody in this room has somebody who looks to them as some sort of an authority. All right? Now, our grandchildren, they may not think of us as an authority. They know that, our grandchildren know that we pray for them. They know that when things are happening, that they can go to us and Grandma and Papa will be praying for them because that's what we do. We pray. And they don't really see that as an authority in their life, but it's interesting that they do recognize the importance of our prayers in their lives. And I think everyone here has a relationship like that. And you may not be on speaking terms with these people. And it's amazing how many families are mad at each other for one reason or another. But the bottom line is that we influence those around us by the things we do and the things we say. I thank God that when I was growing up, and most of you know that I grew up in an ecumenical family before the word ecumenical was in vogue. My father's side of the family was Catholic and my mother's side of the family was Lutheran. And so during the school year, my brother and sister and I, we went to the Lutheran church and we were good little Lutherans. During the summertime, we would go off to the family farm and work the farm all summer and my cousins there were all Catholics. And so, acolyte Dale would become altar boy Dale, depending on where we were living. But the one thing that I'm grateful for is that when we got up on Sunday morning at 8:30, my mother, my father, my brother, and my sister were in the early morning service. We were there for the church service. And afterwards, we were in Sunday school. Even my dad, who had quite the reputation in the church, all right? I mean, he was the loudest singer in the whole church. He also was tone deaf. But that never stopped him. All right? It would embarrass the fire out of my mother. My brother and sister and I are just laughing our idiot heads off at it, but everybody is... Where is that sound coming from? But even though my father was a staunch Catholic, he was there in church with his wife and with his children. And then after church, he would walk over to St. Agnes Church and go to the Catholic service, and usually my brother and I would join him in the Catholic service. And so what I saw growing up was not parents who sent me to Sunday school and church, but parents who brought me to Sunday school and church. I saw in my parents the real value of going to church and going to Sunday school. Amen? And so, my brother has gone one way. He's faithful in the Catholic church. My little sister, faithful in the Lutheran church. Me, I'm just faithful wherever I go. So, it really doesn't make any difference to me. But I can say that the generation that raised us up, who made sure we were in church, and they were in church alongside of us, and I must tell you, I wasn't a very successful Catholic. And my poor Uncle Buck probably thought for sure that I was straight on my way to hell because we would be given a rosary. Y'all know what a rosary is to help you in your prayers. Well, I saw all of my Catholic cousins, they had little crucifixes around their necks. And I said, well, here's a necklace with a crucifix on it. And so I would put the rosary on. And my uncle would look over, and here I am putting the rosary. Well, you don't put your rosary on. It's not a necklace. Okay? Take that off! My poor relatives. But you see, their convictions left a generational change in my life. And so now my children have grown up, and my son's 50, Laura is 48, alright, so they're a little older, they've got kids, and hopefully there's no more kids coming up right away, we don't need to be grandparents yet, we're adoptive great-grandparents, yeah, but through one of the little kids that we've adopted into our lives at one time, but, our kids and our grandkids like to go to church. And those that don't, I feel satisfied in knowing they saw a consistent witness in my life. Because most of my grandkids lived with us at one time or another in their lives. All right? I don't know how it was in your family, but, you know, I know in my family, when I got married, that very day, my mother changed the locks on the house. She did. I came back the next day. We were married on a Saturday. We got up. We went to church on Sunday morning, not at any church that we were, you know, familiar with. Came back and went to my parents' house, and the door was locked, and my key did not fit it. All right? Mama says, you old enough to get married? You're old enough to find yourself a place to live. So, yeah, we didn't come back home. It seems that the generation after that, however, you know, you graduate from high school, get married, and then move back home. And the problem is they multiply and move back. It's not like they just move out and move back. There's more of them when they come back. I don't know how that works, all right. But I can say before my Creator that my wife and I lived that kind of consistent testimony before those children, before those grandchildren, that they know what the right thing is. All right? And every once in a while, I'll get a phone call. And the name that I'm called the most by my grandkids is Papa. Okay. Papa, I need some help here. All right? So one of my kids, my oldest grandchild, decided to join the military, decided he didn't need to talk to Papa. He joined the Army. Yeah. Okay. However, the youngest grandson, he used a little bit more wisdom, and he called me up. He's joining the Air Force. So, all right. I don't need too many more ground pounders in the family. But they value the wisdom that we have. So, what does that mean to you now? Because we've all raised our kids. We've raised our kids. We've given our gifts to the grandkids on their birthdays and all that stuff. What does that mean now? That means that now we can still live out our Christian values, the wisdom part, in front of our families. You know what? We don't write letters anymore. And as a matter of fact, if you do decide to write letters, don't write in cursive. Because they don't teach cursive anymore. Alright? So they can't read cursive. And there was a comedian lady that she said, yes, when us baby boomers decide to take the nation back, we'll write all of our combat plans out in cursive, and that way they'll never be able to figure out what we're doing. Send them in through the mail, because they say, what is this? And all right. So, believe it or not, The Hallmark birthday cards still make an impact, because that's something that they don't see every day, is a birthday card. Oh, there's lots of stuff that you can pop up and send to them in a messenger or, you know, text message or whatever. But to get something in the mail with a stamp on it and just, you know, just letting you know that Amma loves you and is praying for you. You don't have to read them about the head with the King James Bible and tell them that, you know, you need to be reading your Bible and you need to be going to church. Just that I'm trusting God for His very best in your life. And Terry, she kind of, I don't know if she meant to do this, but man, she really struck me to the quick. And she was asking about the different grandchildren that we have and their importance in my life and my importance in their life. And so I told her about one that I was concerned about. And she said, oh, how many times a week do you talk to them? Because I don't have the time. If it's important enough, we'll find the time. It's always about priorities. I can talk to my son and my grandsons, and I can say, let's go to a men's conference. I'll be by at 4 o'clock in the morning to pick you up, and I'll hear every excuse in the world why they can't go. I can say, let's go fishing down in Galveston Bay. I'll be at the house at 3:30 in the morning, and they'll be out there waiting in the front yard. All right? See, it's what's important. And folks, if you look in the back, some of you newer folks may not have seen this, but we have, these are the family seals, the crests for many of our families. We haven't done it in a while, most of our families. Well, it was all of our families at one time, but we haven't kept up with it in a while. And that was to remind us as we turn around and leave that we are the patriarchs and matriarchs of our families. And if we're not going to lift our families up in prayer, who will? Their parents? They're too busy raising families. See, God has put us at a very unique place in a very unique condition. All right? We don't have enough energy to go out and hold down full-time jobs anymore. All right? That means that we have a little bit more time on our hands to write out a little note. Put it in an envelope. Stick a stamp on it. And before you send it out, you anoint that letter. You anoint that card with prayer. You proclaim verbally, Father God, I lift this card up to you. And when my grandson, granddaughter, loved one opens it up, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just anoint them and let them recognize the love and the concern that I have for them. I'm just going to leave it there. That's a good enough place to stop right there. Amen? Amen. That's how we can make generational changes in the lives of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, generations not yet even born. If we do the right thing now, we'll be impacting those generations. Father, we thank you for your word.